Parshas Kisavai, this week's Parsha, is the Tochacha, contains within it, amongst other things, the largest part of the Parsha is the Tochacha, the blessings and the curses that Moshe Rabbeinu presented to the Jewish people as part of the Bris. Milvad HaBris HaShe Kor Asitam B'Chorev, a covenant which he made with them beyond the original covenant which he had made with them at Har Chorev. This bris is presented as part of the renewal of the covenant which Klal Yisrael would undertake as they entered Eretz Yisrael. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu is right now having them come into the bris while he is still alive at the Eber HaYarden, on the east bank of the Yarden, however, there's an anticipation here of what's going to happen as the Jews enter Eretz Yisrael. At Revi, the Pasuk says, after in Shlishi, it says, you know, Hashem is commanding you in all these mitzvahs and so on for your good. It says, Hashem told them, Shamor eskol ha-mitzvah asher anachim mitzaveh eschem hayoyim, guard all of the mitzvah that I'm commanding you today, and it will be that the day, on the day that you cross over the Yarden, v'akimayso l'cho avonim gedoylos v'sadatoysom basid, you shall erect large stones, and you should cover them with lime, and you should write upon them all of the words of the Torah, b'yavrecha, as you cross over the Yarden. L'man asher tovig, evo oretz asher Hashem alikecha noisim loch, l'cho eretzov aschal v'dvash, so you will come to the land that Hashem is giving to you, kasher divar Hashem alikecha v'isecha loch, like Hashem your God has promised you. They were supposed to take stones when they crossed over the Yarden. There were stones that they established, that they put as a mound in the Yarden. There were pope stones that they did at Har Gerizim and Har Ebal, where they renewed this covenant. And these stones were to somehow be the emblem of the bris. The Torah would be written upon them, and the pasuk says that you should take these stones and uvanisa sham mizbeach l'Hashem alekecha. You should build there a mizbeach to Hashem. Mizbach avonim, a mizbeach of stones, leisanef aleihem barzel. You should not use metal tools upon them. Whole stones, tivnes mizbach Hashem alekecha, and you should bring upon it oilos l'Hashem alekecha. So it describes these stones, this bringing together of the stones, and the building of the mizbeach to the Jewish people. Now, the mizbeach that would be used to serve Hashem. I would like to point out to you an interesting relationship that we have. The Torah teaches us here about building a mizbeach out of 12 stones. It's not the first time that we have that kind of a thing. When Yaakov Avinu came, when it says, you know, in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov was leaving Eretz Yisrael, Vayetze Yaakov mi Bershova v'yelech harana. So the pasuk says, Vayifka v'mokhaim v'yolen shom kivo ha-shemesh. He came to the place and he rested there because the sun had set, and he took me'avnei ha-mokhaim, he took of the stones of the place and he put them mirashoysov at his head, v'yishka v'mokhaim ahu, and he went to sleep at that place. Everybody remembers. Rashi tells us the famous Medrash, which is actually found in the Gemara, Kulin, where it says here that he took off the stones of the place. Whereas when Yaakov Inu left, what does it say? He speaks about one stone, right? Even Azois, Asher Santi Matseva, right? Vayikach Asher Even, Asher Somer Asher. So he took the stone that he had placed by his head, right? He refers to the single stone that he made as a Matseva, right? That will be a Beit Elokim, that will be a house of God. So it starts off with many stones, and it ends off with one. Although simple shot in the pasuk could be, Vayikach Me'avni Hamokom, he took one of the stones of the place. However, again, why didn't it just say Vayikach Even, as the Maral explains? It says, he took off the stones of the place. It sounds like many stones, or that the other stones were involved. So the Gemara says that all of the stones got into an argument. Each one said, I want to be the stone that the tzaddik rests his head upon, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow made them fused together to become like one stone, so that all of them were able to be involved in supporting Yaakov Avinu's head. That's the beautiful medrash which the Gemara says. But there's a medrash as well in the Medrash Rabbah and in other places. The medrash says, Rav Yudah v'Rav Nechemya v'Rabbanu. Rav Yudah Omar, Yud Beis Avonim Natal. He took 12 stones. Omar, and he said, Kach Kozer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shu Ma'amid Yud Beis Shvatim. Hashem said, that there will be 12 Shvatim. We find this expression already by Yishmael, that he would have Shnei Masor Nesiyim Yolid. He'll have 12 princes. However, there was a Nevuah, there was a prophecy going around that there would be 12 Shvatim that would come to the Jewish people. Avram Lohamidon. Avram didn't have them. Avram had two sons, then he had a bunch of others through his maidservants. Yitzchak Lohamidon. Yitzchak didn't have them. He had two sons only, Yaakov and Esav. Ani, but me, if the 12 stones that I set aside here, if they fuse together, if they join together, then I know that I will have 12 Shvatim. And they will all come together, they will all be mine. And those 12 stones came together, then he knew that he would indeed be the one to have the 12 Shvatim. Rav Nachman has a different pshat. He says that it was three stones, and the three stones represented Avram and Yitzchak, and if the three stones would come together, that would mean that he would be Yaakov, who would fuse together Avram and Yitzchak. Yaakov was the bridge between the love and the chesed, the kindness of Avram, and the yira, the fear, the awe of Yitzchak. And the Rabbanan say, no, it was two stones. Avram had a psilas, Avram had a child that had to be passed away, in a sense, Yishmael. Yitzchak had a psilas. Yitzchak had a chap that had to be cast away, that was Esav. With me, if I can see two stones come together, then I know that in my case, instead of there being a splitting and a separation, in my case, everything is going to not only be together, but everything is going to come. And indeed we know that when it came to the case of Yaakov Avinu, whereas, you know, Avraham Avinu had a wife, and then Hagar, who was completely supposed to be subordinate and secondary to his wife. She had no independence. She was a maidservant that Sarah had proposed should act as a surrogate for her. But nevertheless, it split apart, even though maybe in a certain sense it should have been together. Yaakov and Esav were twins. Yitzchak had two children from one wife, twins, one pregnancy. Naturally, they would have been together, but they split apart. Yaakov Avinu, he had all the reason for his family to come apart. Yaakov Avinu had four wives. Count them. Right? Four wives. He had four wives, including two sisters, that very complicated circumstances about what happened to them. And we know that, in fact, in Yaakov's family, between Rachel and Leah, there was a kinna, there was a jealousy, the Pasuk describes. Between the brothers, there was a legendary kinna. But nevertheless, they were all together. So literally, in a sense, like bringing 12 separate stones and fusing them together into one. And that was what Yaakov Avinu wanted to see as he was leaving Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to know that he was going to be the continuation of Avraham and Yitzchak. He was going to be the one that would not have anything sent away. He was going to be the one that was going to bring together the Yud Beis Shvatim, the 12 tribes. And it was represented in the Yud Beis Shvatim, in these 12 stones, coming together and fusing together into one. Here, in our parsha, we learn specifically about a mizbeach which is made out of Yud Beis Avonim. A mizbeach which is made out of 12 stones. We speak about the 12 stones that Klal Yisrael was supposed to erect here at this time, even as they build a mizbeach of Avonim, a mizbeach of stones. In fact, if you recall, a couple of weeks ago in the Torah, we read where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Leisokim ucha matzeva asher sani Hashem alaykecha. You should not make for yourself a matzeva that Hashem despises. Rather, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to make it a mizbeach of avonim, a mizbeach of stones. What's the difference between a matzeva and a mizbeach? A matzeva is from one stone. A mizbeach is from many stones. Say, Chazal, Rashi brings, you shouldn't make a matzeva because Hashem hates it. Hashem didn't always hate it. In the time of Yaakov Avinu, he loved it. It says Yaakov Avinu took a stone and he made it a matzeva and he poured oil on it. And not only that, did he offer his offerings there on that matzeva, on that single stone monument, but also he said that, you know, this Evan Hazois Asher Santi Matzeva Yeh Beis Elokim. This is going to become the temple. It became the Beis HaMikdash, the rock around which the Mikdash was built, the Evan Shasiyah, which was the centerpiece of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Chedesh HaKadoshim. And if this is the case, this stone is very significant. But say Chazal, Hashem used to like it, but now he doesn't like it anymore. Once the Avdei Avodah Zarah took it over, the idol worshippers took it over, so whatever it is at that point, he doesn't like it anymore. But it's a very significant thing that I want to really look at here with you. Here we have 12 stones, Yaakov Avinu, on the original mountain, so to speak, of the Jewish people, which is Har HaMoriah, Har HaBayis, the Beis Elohim. Right, so there, all those 12 stones fused together to become one. That's what's demonstrated to Yaakov Avinu. Here, in a different mountain, in fact, two mountains, Har Grizim and Har Evel, this is a different kind of a revelation of the dual mountains, Har Grizim and Har Evel, the mountain which has half of Kol Yisrael associated with one, half of Kol Yisrael associated with the other. Right? Six Shvatim stood on one mountain, six Shvatim stood on another mountain. The mountain which represents, the two mountains which represent Barucha and Kol, a blessing and curse. Here indeed, the stones are very, very much divided up. They're divided up and they, in a great sense, remain divided. And it's something that is, something that I think perhaps is worthy of some exploration, some understanding. Vayidaber Moshe v'akvanim v'aldim al kol Yisrael lemar haskesu shma Yisrael hayom hazeh niyeis al ha'am la'ashem alekecha. Moshe and the Kohanim, the Levim, they speak to the Jewish people and they say, listen, today you have become a nation to Hashem your God. What does it mean today you become a nation? Hayom hazeh niyeis al ha'am. Rashi leaves us still grasping at what this means, because he says, every day it should be in your eyes as if you have come into the covenant. Every day should be like today. But what's the covenant of today? What is indeed happening on this specific day? So it seems clear, as other Rishonim explain, that the idea is because at this time the Bnei Yisrael were accepting upon themselves a bris, an oath of Torah. They were accepting themselves the Shvuah that we're just about to describe. And that was what would somehow forge them into a people for Hashem, into the people for Hashem, because they entered this covenant and this commitment. What was specific about this? The truth is that Bnei Yisrael already had accepted a bris. As it says, Milvad HaBris, Asher Karasitam B'Chorev, this covenant was, besides for a covenant which was already made. What is this bris really adding? There's a discussion about this really already to some degree in the Gemara in Saita, and discussions about it amongst the Rishonim and the early Mefarshim. And the basic idea that seems to come across is the following. I'll tell you the basic idea, and then we'll look a little bit to some degree as to how it's illustrated. The Jewish people here accepted upon themselves not just to accept the Torah personally, but they accepted upon themselves to be an Am. They accepted upon themselves, in a fuller sense, mutual responsibility. Mutual responsibility in a fuller sense than existed before. An absolute arvus, an absolute mutual responsibility that even transcended the ability of one individual to perhaps even do something about another. What do we mean? What do I mean? Right after this passage which I read you, so it says, these are the people who should stand to bless the Bnei Yisrael at Har Grizim. These are the people who should stand to render the curses toward Har Evel. It lists the various Shvatim. And then it says what they should say. And it lists Yud Aleph Harurim, 11 curses. That's what we call them. In fact, if you actually count them, it's not Yud Aleph, it's not 11, but it is 12. Or Risha Shiaset Pesel Masecha. Or Makla Vivi'imai, or Masik Vure'eu, right? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And then there's a 12th. And the 12th is, Or Asher Lo Yokim is called Divrei HaTorah Hazois, Lasois Haysom, V'yamar Kolom, Amen. Cursed is he who doesn't uphold all of the Torah, the totality of the Torah. So Rashi goes with a Chazal say that's called 11 curses, one per Shevet. Shimon didn't get one because Shimon was already going to be excluded in a sense from blessing, because Shimon was the only one who wouldn't get a bracha in Parshas V'zayis HaBracha. So if he didn't get a bracha, he wasn't going to get a klali. He wasn't going to get a curse either. So therefore Shimon was excluded. That's Rashi's cheshbon. But simply, you read in the Parsha, you have 12. What's the nature of the 12 curses that are said here? So the Rashbam explains something very clear that we find here in this list. Kol arurim shnei maser, keneged shnei maser shvat. Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, goes with the number 12. And he says that there are 12 curses corresponding to the 12 shvatim. Not 11 plus one general one, but 12 corresponding to the 12 shvatim. The kulam aveirais sheregilim liyais baseser. All of these that are listed on these curses are aveiros that are usually done baseser, privately. Kumay shafarish bekulam, except like I will show by all of them. Chutz mishnayim, with the exception of two, sheregilim liyais pamim begaliu pamim baseser. Two of the ones on this list sometimes are done publicly, sometimes are done privately. So, for instance, Avodah Zarah could be done publicly, could be done, many times it was done privately, like in the days of Yeshio. Famously, the Jewish people hid their Avodah Zarah behind their double doors. So the other one is Makireu, hitting somebody. So you could hit somebody publicly, you could hit your friend, or you could hit him privately, which, in fact, Chazal say refers to Lashon Hara, you know, sort of like behind his back. So by those two, the Pasuk says the word Baseser, or Basoser, that it's done privately. To emphasize these, it could have been public, it couldn't have been privately. What we're talking about is something which is done privately. But the rest of them, it doesn't even have to say privately, right? Because by nature of how they are done privately. That's the way the Rashbam explains. Some of the ones on the list come across clearly. Some of them he has to put in a knetch, a twist, to show why it's speaking about a specific aspect which is done privately. Okay, so what's the significance of this? That all of these curses are about things which are private matters. So he says like this. They didn't come to make these curses regarding visible averos. Why? Because for that, you don't need to render a curse from heaven. There, people are able to obviously see the problem and carry out their responsibility. The Bezdin, the human court, sees a person doing an avera, doing a terrible thing, they can step in and they can react. Like it says at the end of the curses, in next week's parsha, the hidden ones, those are Hashem's issue. The open ones, those are ours. But here, we accepted upon ourselves a curse about the hidden ones. That we said, Hashem, please, please, indeed, address this, take care of this. To do this. So he goes on and he demonstrates through each one that it's indeed an Avera Shebeseser. So what we're doing over here is, we're not just accepting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish people for nistaris, for hidden things. But we're accepting it as something of a joint responsibility. Klal Yisrael undertook it in this way. I've pointed out to you before that indeed, perhaps one of the great expressions of this is something which we find. This is supposed to happen on the day that the Jewish people cross over the Yarding. Something which we find that they accepted when they came into Eretz Yisrael. How's that? When there was the Cherem of Yericho, when the Jewish people first conquered Yericho, Yehoshua said, nobody can touch, nobody can take of that which we get from the spoils of Yericho. Nobody can rebuild the city of Yericho. And he accepted it, and he made the Jewish people take it as a covenant. And the covenant was such, you see in the Pasuk, that he said that everybody accepts upon themselves not to touch it themselves. And they accept upon themselves mutual responsibility about anybody else touching it. And if you remember what happened, somebody did touch it. Achan. Right? Achan took something from those spoils. And the Jewish people went to battle for their next battle, not knowing that Achan had done anything. And they suddenly suffered a terrible setback. 36 people were killed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's because the Jewish people sinned. The Jewish people sinned? One person sinned. The Jewish people sinned. The Jewish people sinned because everybody had accepted upon themselves mutual responsibility. One for all and all for one. Everybody became responsible as one. That was in the first conquest that they had in Eretz Yisrael. That was in this bris, in this covenant that they were undertaking as they would enter Eretz Yisrael. And that's very much the content of this bris, this covenant on the threshold of Eretz Yisrael. Hayoim hazeh niyeh salam. On this day, you have become a nation. On this day, you have become a people. And a nation has this bond. A nation has this bond that whether you can point a finger and say, you should have reacted to this, you should have done something about this thing that the other one was doing, even if you can't say that, even if you can't point that finger, you're an Am, you're a people. You know what Am means? You know what Am, the same letter is as Im, right? With, joined, together. It's an inseparable reality. You're one entity. And as one entity, therefore the consequences of what happens to one are consequences which to some degree have to be borne by them all. Yaakov Avinu was running away from Esav. He was running away from his own brother. He was running away from his brother the same way Yitzchak, to some degree, had to separate in his own way from Yishmael. There was, in Yaakov Avinu's picture of things, in his history, in his family, the way things had happened were that the family wasn't a single entity. Not at all. Not at all. It was the opposite of that. And nevertheless, Yaakov Avinu said, as he's going out into Eretz Yisrael, am I going to be different? Am I going to be the third one? You see, the third one is always that bridge. You have one, you have two. Two things are a pair. They're separate. They could be paired up, so to speak, but you have one over here, one over here. What brings the two together? Always three. That's why we refer, Maharal explains this everywhere, you know, Maharal was very preoccupied with the numbers, and he says always, that's why the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they said, blessed Hashem who gave the triple Torah to the triple people in the triple month. He gave Torah Nevi'im Uchsuvim, the triple Torah, to the triple people, to Kohanim, Levi, and Yisraelim, and the triple month, the third month of the year, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. Sivan is the month of the Torah. Because it's three. Three is the bridge between the two disparaged parts. They get linked together by a third. And that was what Yaakov Avinu, to some degree, saw himself as representing. But if that's what's going to happen, he's creating the bond, then amongst his children, there's not going to be any throwaways, like they were in the case of Yishmael, in the case of Esav. They would all come together. They would come together as Yud Beis Shvatim, as 12 Shvatim, and they would come together, mamish, precisely, fused into one. From the 12 stones, they would fuse together, and they would become like one. They would become like a matzeva. They would become together, mamish, in completeness, like one. In a sense, that's what he's anticipating. What would become of Klal Yisrael, where we would become, we would be like an Am, we would be like one. We would be inseparable, as 12 Shvatim, really fully together, responsible for the visible, for the not visible. Shomer Achi Anochi, I'm my brother's keeper, whether I know where he is, I don't know where he is, it doesn't make a difference. We're completely joined together, and that's what Yaakov Avinu anticipated. That's what Yaakov Avinu wanted to see within his family, within his tribe, from the Bnei Yisrael. I'm not answering the question yet. I don't know if you notice. Because in fact, this is to some degree the opposite. Because here what we have is, so by Yaakov Avinu, you take the 12 stones and you put them together into one. Here, it's 12 stones. That remain 12 stones. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't have Moshe Rabbeinu write it on one stone. He had him write the Torah on 12 stones. That there would be 12 pieces. There would be 12 versions that would come together here on this mountain as Kol Yisrael is entering Eretz Yisrael. This is not the Beis HaMikdash. This is not the Har HaBayis. This is the beginnings of Eretz Yisrael. This is the outskirts of Eretz Yisrael. This is, in fact, interestingly, located where? Elone Moreh, right? That's where it's supposed to be. Where is that? It's at Shechem. What happened at Shechem? Shechem was the place where Yosef was sold from the brothers. Shechem is the place where the kingdom of the Jewish people would ultimately split in two. So there's something very, very distinct about the fact that these 12 stones, they don't come together. That they remain, to some degree, very, very much apart. How is it? Why is it? Why is it indeed something that happens in this way? I'm going to share with you a thought, a possibility, something to consider. And if you think it's wild, that's okay. I forgive you. It's the season for forgiveness. I hope you forgive me. So this is the idea that I want to share. After you get through all of the klolis, all of the curses, all of the brachas and the teichacha, Hashem comes, Moshe comes, excuse me, and he calls the Jewish people and he says, "Atem riyisem eschol asher osa Hashem leinechem v'eretz Mitzrayim l'fayr l'chol avodav chol aretz atem." You saw everything which Hashem did to Paray, to everybody. Hamasay sagdelos asher roe einecha, the tremendous miracles that your eyes saw. All those tremendous signs. But Hashem didn't really give you the eyes to see, the heart to understand, the ears to hear until this day. You don't get it until today. And there's some question whether until today means including today. Some say, even now, you still don't get it. Or maybe now, finally, you get it. I took you through the desert for 40 years. Your clothing didn't wear out. Your shoes didn't wear out. You didn't eat bread. You didn't drink wine or other intoxicating beverages. So you could know that I am Hashem, your God. You came to this place and Sichon and Og came out and you captured them. And you gave it as a portion to Reuven and Gad. And now I tell you, observe this bris. It's a strange series of sukkah. I took care of you, I took care of you, I took care of you. But you don't get it. And I took you through the midbar and I took care of you. Right now, do it, observe it, keep it. I want to point out to you something, which is interesting. I think it's an interesting relationship. Again, in Vayetzeh. Remember last time by Yetzeh? We were talking about Yaakov and the 12 stones putting together into one. In that same section of Yetzeh, remember how Yaakov establishes that Matzeva? He has a dream. And in the dream, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him and he promises him that he's going to have Eretz Yisrael. And he tells him, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to take care of you in all that you travel. I'm going to bring you back to this land. I won't abandon you until I do that which I told you. And Yaakov awoke from his slumber and he said, wow, Hashem is here. I didn't realize it. Awesome place and so on. He took the stone. He made a matzeva and so on. And he said, if Hashem will be with me, and he'll guard me on this way, that I'm going. And he'll give me food to eat and clothing to wear. And I'll return in peace to my father's house. Then Hashem will be for me for a God and I will make this into a Beis Elokim. If you notice, what Yaakov Avinu is being promised by Hashem, what Yaakov Avinu is telling Hashem, if you do this for me, then that, 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 is the same kind of thing that Moshe Rabbeinu is pointing out to the Jewish people that Hashem has been doing for them all this time. Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim and he brought you to Eretz Yisrael. What's the beginning of Parshas Kisavo? It's Bikurim. We come to Eretz Yisrael, we say, oh Hashem, you know, we went down to Mitzrayim and we had all these things, difficulties, and then you came and you saved us and you did for us. Wonderful. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shechionu v'kimonu v'giyonu l'mokem hazeh. You brought us to this place. So, I'm with you. I'm guarding you along the way. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu points out the Klal Yisrael, then the Parsha, you see what happened. You were in Mitzrayim and Hashem brought you back. Hashem said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you everything. Right? And Yaakov Avinu says, if Hashem is with me and He gives me food to eat and clothing to wear and so on and so forth. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Hashem took care of you. He gave you food. He gave you clothing. Very much the same nuschois, the same text, the same kind of an expression we have in both cases. And Hashem didn't give you the ability to fully see this, to fully, properly comprehend this until this day. What bound the Jewish people together was a trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of. Those of you who have been learning with us the sugya through the year, you recall how much we spoke about this around the time of the parshiyos of Yosef HaTzadik. What drove Yosef from his brothers was a belief that they were in each other's hands, that they would affect each other, that they would get into each other's way. That somehow the interpretation of Yosef's dreams, that they would all come down and bow down to him, that it was somehow Yosef's imaginations and his pretensions that he would get the better of them. And so they decided to beat him to it, and they decided to get the better of him. Yosef HaTzadik, he embraces his brothers when he comes time to reveal himself to them. And he says, it wasn't you, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's be together. But the brothers are still reticent, and the brothers are still separate. That's what separates when it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving it to you, when it's somebody else to some degree that's going to be giving it to you. Of course, in the story that also happened in Shechem, of the division of the Jewish people into two parts, the Ten Shvatim, the Two Shvatim, of Yeravam ben Avot separating from Rechavam, right, in that kingdom, again, same thing, right? Shlomo HaMelech, he's imposing on us so many taxes. Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, look what he's doing. He's taking away from us. He's acting as a king. He's being so assertive over us. And indeed, he chooses to be assertive over them. Instead of a sense of indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is taking care of us all the way through. Yaakov Avinu, when he was leaving Lavan, or was ready to leave Lavan, so Lavan said, look, I'll take care of you, I'll give you things. And Yaakov Avinu says, I don't want it. He wanted to have everything, that it should be a direct bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't want it to be through the channel of anybody. Hashem had told him, I'm going to be with you, I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to give you lechem lechel, uveget lubash. And he knew that to some degree, that would be able to bring the Jewish people together. That would be able to bring his children together in the deepest and the most profound way. It's an ironic thing, therefore, that during the period when Kol Yisrael was in the Midbar, where it was the most visible of all and any times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of their every need, He was giving them food, He was giving, preserving their clothing, Hashem was taking care of their every need, but they were not ready to accept this bris of unity, of coming together, of Hayem Azen Yesel Om, until they were somehow traveling over, moving over into Eretz Yisrael. Then they would be able to accept the bris of mutual responsibility. How's that? They have the tremendous, tremendous advantage of peace, because they know that everything in the Midbar was coming to them from Hashem. Did the Jewish people have to fight amongst each other? And they knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of everything for them. Well, we have a couple of incidents where they did. Korach. And we have other times when the Jewish people fought with each other, even though they were in the Midbar being taken care of by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to the extent that perhaps they thought, they saw that somebody was taking advantage. However, the thing is that Klal Yisrael in the Midbar They were being completely taken care of by Hashem to the point where there was no human involvement, where there was no human responsibility. When Klal Yisrael was going into Eretz Yisrael, then was the time when it became their responsibility, their opportunity to be able to indeed exercise human responsibility for each other. The fact that Arvus, that responsibility, starts in Eretz Yisrael and doesn't exist really in the Midbar, doesn't exist really in the desert, is because in the desert there's no tzedakah. In the desert there's no chesed. In the desert, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of anything and everything that the Bnei Yisrael needed. The idea of coming together is not removing acrimony. The idea of coming together is being mutually responsible. And to some degree, that only begins, that can begin, as Klal Yisrael leaves the supernatural existence of the Midbar and enters a world of responsibility which is present there in Eretz Yisrael. So it's a step towards this mutual responsibility. But on the other hand, it's also a step backwards from togetherness to separateness. Because as much as it's their world of mutual responsibility, it's also to some degree a world of normalcy, a world of people to some degree needing to work for themselves, standing up for themselves. There's more of a potential of division, and there's more of a potential of responsibility. There's more of a potential and opportunity of both. In the Midbar, there was less of an opportunity for division. They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed taking care of everything. In that sense, they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu being able to really, you know, really truly taking care of everything, removing the disturbances, removing the separations, removing the fissures that could develop within the Bnei Yisrael, within the Jewish people. But on the other hand, they had nothing to do for each other, to form, to forge themselves into one. Now that they entered Eretz Yisrael, so it would be more difficult sometimes to see the hand of Hashem. But on the other hand, they would be in the position of doing more for one another. Yaakov Avinu's picture, his picture is a miraculous picture. When Yaakov Avinu saw 12 stones, or experienced 12 stones, 3 stones or 2 stones fusing together and becoming one, that's not normal. Right? It's an example of some like dramatic medrash. Wow, telling us this happened, that really happened. What were they doing? Fighting over the tzaddik's, being the tzaddik's pillow. But as the Sfarim explained, or Al explains, others, what was happening there was an expression of the ultimate Kedusha of Yaakov Avinu, the Kedushas Kedosh Yaakov. Because in the realm of the Kedusha of Yaakov Avinu, which transcends this normal bonds of the physical world, so all divisions that exist between things, between people, between physical items, they all disappear. The idea that stones, you know, there are a lot of material things that you can put together. You can take, right, wood and, you know, and break it apart, put it together. Stones, much, much harder to do that with. But the stones were fused together. The stones fused together that showed that what Yaakovina was dreaming about, what Yaakovina was hoping for, was something that was so above and beyond the norm that they would mamish become together like one. And that stone became the stone of the Mikdash. Because there in the Mikdash, that's what you have. You have this idea of bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow down into the middle of the whole place, into the middle of the whole people, and bringing Mikdash, Beis HaMikdash, Vigdishu as Kedosh Yaakov. Just somehow creating that potential of mamish, of absolute fusion. And so the Gemara tells us, when you come to Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim, wasn't divided up amongst tribes. Everybody had an equal portion. Nobody would be able to to say, okay, this is my part, this is your part, was like one. There were to be no boundaries, no borders that would exist between them at all. Because it represents this, truly, this ultimate ideal of all of the stones fusing together and becoming one. Of everything coming, as Yaakov Avinu was one, so to all of his children, Mitasai, all of those that came from his bed, Shlema, they would be together, mamish like one, completely and totally like one. We have in our parsha also, with Kol Yisrael having gone through everything that they went through, seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, creating that possibility of fusion and so on. But here, we come to the place where Kol Yisrael stands distinct from each other. And is not perfectly fused. And has to take the step to overcome. The step, nevertheless, of mutual responsibility. Elone Moreh, Hargrizim and Harevo, Mekom of Shechem, is a place where on the one hand you have the greatest vulnerabilities of the Jewish people to separating from each other, to breaking apart from each other. Yosef and his brothers, the kingdom of the Jewish people, everything, it all, Shechem, is a place of tremendous potential division. And it's there, in the place of tremendous potential division, on the fact that we are separate people. That in human life, v'ahavta l'reacha kamecha, as the Ramban says, is something of an exaggerated expression, that you should love your fellow man like yourself. How can that happen in a normal framework? So in Shechem, where we have those vulnerabilities, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but mutual responsibility, the opportunity to take care of one another. Twelve stones representing Kol Yisrael, put together to some degree as a mizbeach, even as they are separate from each other, even as they are distinct from each other, but somehow approximating the idea of guf echad, the idea of becoming like one body, like one being. Mutual responsibility, the visible, the hidden, everything. But even as we are not actually one, but we are to some degree becoming as one. Hayom hazen yesov ha'am. One might say in the Midbar, why don't we have the same thing that we describe in the Beis HaMikdash? Where we are virtually one. Where we're, you know, completely one, you know, taken care of. In some sense in that way. So here's where I'm really not sure. Maybe indeed it was like that in the Midbar. And then the Mikdash to some degree restored it. But when they would go into the land, they would separate. They would break apart. But if that's the case, we could say that now you become an Am, because now that you separate from each other, you learn how to bond back together. Not completely comfortable. Not completely comfortable at this point with that understanding. Yaakov Avinu wanted to see everything come from Hashem, and then he would be able to make this stone into a centerpiece for the Jewish people. Kol Yisrael had been there in the Midbar for all of those years, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I took care of you over and over and over again, and still you haven't quite come fully to this recognition. To this recognition of how connected you are to one another. I wonder, I hope you understand what I'm saying, I wonder if to some degree that's even what's alluded to in this last piece, second last pasuk of the parsha. It's a strange thing. Oh, and you came to this place, and Sichon and Og came, and you took their land. Yeah. Why is Hashem saying this right now? I would say, you know what he's saying? I took care of you. I took care of you. I took care of you. I gave you the mun. I gave you your clothing that it stayed whole and fresh and fine, and your shoes, and they didn't wear out. And when you had a battle, I helped you out and you won. You trounced Sichon and Og. Fantastic. That's not what the pasuk emphasizes. It's true. It was a tremendous, miraculous victory. That's not what the pasuk emphasizes. You know what the pasuk emphasizes? They came out to fight you, and you took their land, and you gave it as a portion to Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Manasseh. Why is that significant here? That wasn't even necessarily part of the original plan. Why does Hashem put that in here? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu put that in here? You understand that Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Manasseh taking their portion on the other side of the river? What's that? That was the first separation in Chol Yisrael. It was a real separation. We saw it when they did it. One might say, oh, that wasn't really what they were opposed to. They were opposed to something else. But you see, when you learn the Amos Sefer Yehoshua, when Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Manasseh are going back to their portion, that they were worried, and the Jewish people were worried, that they were breaking away, they were separating from the Jewish people. So what Moshe Rabbeinu might be accenting over here to some degree is, look, you had all of this. I took you out of Mitzrayim. I gave you food. I gave you wine. I gave you everything. I was taking such care of you. Sichon and Og attacked you. You got the land. And what do? You take a couple of tribes and say, we want to be over there. So I'm making with you a covenant. The covenant is between me and you. And the covenant is between you and me. The covenant is between each other. When the covenant is about things which are about Seser, so yes, Hashem is the guarantor. Hashem is going to take care of it. Hashem says, Oru, you can't see it. But it's your mutual responsibility. Hayom hazeh niyeis ala'am. Today, I'm making you to some degree into a people. Everything that I've done, you haven't yet come together. You haven't yet expressed full responsibility. And I know that as I bring you into Eretz Yisrael, and I'm telling you, please accept responsibility for one another, I'm going to ask you to do it in the place where historically you broke apart from each other, and where in the future you're going to again break apart from each other. Because that's going to be your struggle. That's going to be your struggle. The struggle of mutual responsibility. The struggle of recognizing everything comes from Hashem, and therefore, to some degree, we should all be there together to receive it. Bris, by definition, is from two separate parts. Covenant is made from two parties. Maybe they're like one. We make it with pieces, you know, cutting something into two, say we're really two parts of one whole. But a bris is with separate parties. Separate parties. I'm here, you're there, we make the covenant deep between us. Sinai was a place of bris between Hashem and the Jewish people. The Jewish people were in one place. Hashem was in another place. The Jewish people couldn't approach the mountain, couldn't touch the mountain. Only Moshe Rabbeinu somehow transcended it. He went up there. So bris. Hashem was up there. We're down here. Here, at the bris of Har Grizim and Har Evo, bris of Arvas Moav. Again, bris, some degree of separation. Of separation. Six shvatim over here, six shvatim over there. Divide them. Blessings, curses. Har Habayis. It's not that way at all. Har Habayis is so much more intimate than Har Sinai. Har Habayis is where we build a house for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Har Habayis, remember, when Yaakov Avinu in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze came to that Har Habayis, Hashem made the sun set early. Why? Because He said, you're coming to where I sleep and you're not going to stay over. Hashem wanted Yaakov Avinu to stay over there, to sleep there. Yaakov Avinu woke up, he said, what? I'm sleeping here in the house of Hashem? Had I known, would I have slept here? Hashem says, I want you to sleep here. It's a halacha about Yerushalayim. Did you know that? Ufanisa v'aboker v'alachta l'alecha. The Gemara says that when the Pasuk says you get up in the morning, you go back home, that means after you bring the korban, you got to stay overnight. Hashem says, you came to Yerushalayim. I want you to stay here. It's not the place of distance. It's the place of fusion. The person says, how can I be in the same place as Hashem? How can I sleep in the same place as Hashem? But Hashem wants, in that sense, in Yerushalayim, in the Migdash, to somehow bridge the gap. L'reach ha'kamaych. That is an ideal. The Griezmann Arevo is the step, the Kabbalah, towards there. And ultimately, somewhere or another, with the revelation that comes in the Beis HaMikdash, lead to the ultimate fusion. To summarize and to close, Yaakov Avinu, when he went into Golos, he knew that coming back from Golos, the ultimate coming back from Golos, would be when Klal Yisrael will be fused together as one. Mamash fused together as one. That would be the image. That would be the lasting image of a Klal Yisrael together. And indeed, while Yaakov Avinu was assured that that would ultimately be the case, what kept Klal Yisrael, what took Klal Yisrael into Golos, when Yaakov came back, they went back into Golos. What has kept Klal Yisrael in Golos is, to the greatest extent, that remaining division, that split, that inability to have Klal Yisrael fused together and to come together as one. That ability to mamish, to come together as one, is expressed in the Mikdash. It's expressed in the Mikdash where Klal Yisrael comes together as one, and it's not a bris, it's not a covenant. It's just one stone. It's not two stones agreeing to have a bond with each other. It's one stone. And it's like the Mikdash, where it's not Klal Yisrael coming there to have a covenant with Hashem. The Mikdash is not a place of covenant. The Mikdash is a place of fusion. The Mikdash is a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, come, stay here with me. Where whatever distances and gaps might be perceived, respectful gaps which would be perceived as existing, to some degree, not to the fullest degree, of course, but to some degree are melted away. Sleep here, stay over here. I want you to be here in my home. Hagrizim and Arevo represent to some degree the reality that's before that step. The reality where we aren't quite fused to each other. We're not quite fused to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We traveled through the Midbar for all of those years, and somehow we still didn't see it. We still didn't understand it. We still didn't have that, you know, full and solid and complete connection. And we come into Eretz Yisrael, and we have the ironic pull of separation that can separate us. But it's also the opportunity to build together. So yes, Hagrizim and Arevo were there as 12 stones that learn now here to take care of each other. To take care of each other. To ultimately lead to somehow to the point of fusion. The Bein Adam Lamokim, the recognition that Hashem cares for us. The Bein Adam L'chaveira, of the people actually working to take care of each other. Somehow, those two come together to be able to bring Klal Yisrael together. And to bring Klal Yisrael together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rosh Hashanah is a time when we daven for Echad. We daven for a whole world that's supposed to come together under HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone should be awestruck. Everyone should be fearful. Everyone should revere HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone should understand. It all comes together. And, in a certain sense, however, Rosh Hashanah is such a distance that we have. But we say no. We blow the shofar, and we say, Hashem, their God is with them. And Truas Melech is in them. What's Truas Melech? The true of the shofar? Says the Targum, say Chazal, Truas Melech is the Reus, the friendship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Jewish people. The whole world is being judged And HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at Klal Yisrael and he says, but you're not the subject of my din. You're my friend. You're my beloved. You're my Re'ah. You are that to me. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us on Rosh Hashanah. No? That's why the Gemara says, Shofar Kilifnin, that the sounding of the Shofar is like going into the Holy of Holies in the Beis HaMikdash. The sound of the Shofar is to move away from arm's length and to come very, very close. Come very, very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I wonder that perhaps that's what the Pasuk means in the book of Nehemiah. When the Jewish people celebrated Rosh Hashanah, they were crying. When they finished, they were told, go home, ichlu mashmanim, shesum amtakim. Go eat delicious things, drink sweet things. And send food portions to those who don't have them ready. Those who haven't prepared a meal yet. And don't be sad. Because the joy of Hashem, the joy of unity, chedva is a term of unity, of achad, is your strength. Rosh Hashanah, in this day of coming together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem doesn't just say, go celebrate that you came together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He puts in, and make sure you send a portion for someone who doesn't have one ready. Because the chedva of bris, of mutual responsibility, of chesed, will lead to the ultimate chedva, to the ultimate echad, to moving from bris of separate stones, to fusing together as one. Va'avdoi shchem echad. We speak about the prophetic days where we were serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with one shoulder,